Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
And no, that's okay. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read this to you. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. There's spiritual food that feeds us in times like we're living in right now. And last week I shared with you that what we seek first in life is our priority. Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I read that to you. And the word first there means priority. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else is added. If we seek anything else first, we negate the promise. Do I need to say that again? If we seek anything else first, money, fame, fortune, people, circumstances, situations, we negate the promise. He said, seek first my kingdom and the things that you need. Not the things you want, but the things that you need, particularly in times like we live in, will be added to you. And that means priority, like I said, and what you view as the most important thing. What is the most important thing that we're looking at while our world is spinning out of control, while our nation is struggling, while you know, the left hand can't find the right hand and doesn't know what to do, while our civic and governmental leaders are living in a state of confusion. They make rules and they make laws, and they make one in one state and one in another state, and one at federal and one at city level, and everybody's conflicting one another, and the people don't know what to do. And every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and there's no voice. And the voice of God is what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and through all the decisions that are being made around you, you'll know what to do. While one says do this, other says you can't do that, another says you ought to do this, another says you ought to do that, you do what he says. And you don't do what he says out of rebellion. You do it out of obedience. There's a difference when we do something because we know it's right and we do it out of rebellion. And then we do what we know is right because we're being obedient. How many of you know there's a difference there? There's a massive difference. It doesn't mean people won't look at you and go, well, you're doing it out of civic rebellion. The word kingdom there, where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the word kingdom there is the actual Greek word basilika. And it's the word that's used for a building of faith and legal issues. A basilica is a building. And Jesus said, seek first the building of the kingdom, where royalty rules. A basilica is a place where the law is set down. And Jesus said, seek the building. Now, we know he wasn't talking about a brick and mortar, right? Brick and mortar is not what he was talking about. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven's not trying to follow us. Heaven's trying to get us to follow it. And if we follow heaven and we do what's right out of rebellion, it won't go right. Are you with me? But if you do what's right, following the kingdom of God, not out of a rebellion, but out of a sense of obedience to the kingdom of God, which is greater than the kingdoms of this world, then you'll be blessed in what you do. But if you do it out of rebellion, and you resist out of rebellion, then you're not going to be blessed. Well, I'm not going to say you can't be blessed. So Jesus said, the kingdoms of this world. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? That means the kingdom of God is actually manifested on earth. Most Christians get the idea if they've never solved, and not that it's a, you know, it's not a put down, but you never solved it. Think of it this way. Where's kingdom? If you have to point to it, where is it? Somebody point to heaven. Where do most people point, right? Because they think heaven is up. Okay, here's the problem. Let me show you a graphic. Heaven up, okay, but then that means heaven in South America is down. Or in Europe, it's to the right, and into the Soviet Union, it's to the left. Heaven is not a geographical location. Hear what I'm saying? It doesn't mean it can't occupy geography. Are you with me? But it is primarily not a location. It's a spiritual condition. It's a truth. It's a reality on the inside of us. And so when we think about heavenly issues, we think we're going to go there, and we will. But if you're in South America when you die, which direction do you go? Because we see it as a geographical location. And yet the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. It's on the inside of you. And it rules from within. And so the key to this whole issue is the kingdom of God is a basilica. It's a place where the court of God rules. That inside your and my heart and the heart of those who follow Jesus, they have a kingdom on the inside of them that is bigger than the kingdoms of the world. And so they understand that the will of God is our priority, to do the will of God and the purpose of God. And so God's word, the Bible, is the constitution of his kingdom. This is the government of God right here. In human definition, it's not all of the kingdom of God. But it's everything we need to live in a world where human government supersedes the government of the kingdom. Think, well, okay, where's he going? God's word on earth is the rule. It defines what is right and what is wrong. God's word tells us what's right and what's wrong. It, because it's the issue of spiritual priority in our lives. Let me show you something in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch what it says. It says, Paul says this, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, you want to ask what it's there for. Okay? That means something big is about to happen. Watch what he says. We do not lose heart, even though our outward man perishes. Okay? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That means the kingdom of God is expanding every day wherever it's allowed to expand. Watch what he says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That the kingdom inside of us is a priority, and the kingdom of God is what we have to pursue while the kingdoms of man are in a state of confusion. And while we look around and we, like I already said, you have the federal government saying one thing, you have a state government saying another thing, you have county government saying another, and then you have local jurisdiction saying another thing. And who knows what to do? And so what happens, unfortunately, is people become dichotomous. They have multiple, they have to pick and choose. Well, okay, the government says this. That sounds better than what the state says. But then if the local says something that's better than what the state says, and then you've got all this competing with what you're supposed to do. But if you live like that, you're never going to advance in the kingdom, and you're never going to live the purposes of the kingdom of God, and you're never going to go know the reality of the kingdom of God. While all hell's breaking loose, heaven's loose on the inside of you. And there's a peace that passes all human understanding. I said to the young adults, I met with the young adults, and Leilani and Bradley lead that group, and on Wednesday night, I sat down with them, and I read to them what Paul said in Colossians to the church at Colossus. He said, let the peace of God rule your heart. Something has to rule from within. John 6:63 says, but it's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen to me. The word of God is life to us. And I know you're going to say, you're going to tell, you know, people get so tired of hearing this. They go, I'm supposed to read my Bible. Yes, but you're supposed to live by it. It's not enough. It's not, I mean, here we are. Here's the church, the body of Christ in America. Now, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I can speak for my nation. Here's the church in America having to decide what to do. Do they go with federal? Do they go with state? Do they go with county? Do they go with, what do we do? Let me tell you, and I'm not trying to oversimplify this. Please believe me. I want to speak life to you, but do the kingdom. And let the chips fall where they may. That's not rebellion. That's obedience. Now, it's not seen by those who don't have a respect and understand that the Bible is the living word of God and it's the constitution of the kingdom. And if you haven't been born again, listen to what I'm going to say. If you haven't been born again, you cannot possibly understand what we're talking about. You can't do it. It's impossible, because when you're born again, the kingdom of God is born within you, and with that kingdom comes the kingdom language. And it's not a language that's French or Spanish or English or what, Ukrainian or whatever the case. It's a language of the heart, language of the spirit that drives you, while the language of the world is giving you confusing signals. There's a voice inside you says, this is the way, walk in it. You see things from a different vantage point in life. You see things differently, and you're no longer ruled by the outside, but you're ruled from the inside. So when the outside is chaotic, there's a peace. And peace isn't denial. Peace isn't that you don't care anymore. Peace actually from the inside makes you care even more. Do I need to say that again? When you have true kingdom peace on the inside, you care even more about what's going on. And you understand that you have a solution to what's going on in the confusion of the people around you and the world around you. But if we void his word by not living it and believing in it, and we put it in second place, then we lose the vantage point. We no longer see things clearly. And we're back into the confusion again. What is it darkness works on? Darkness does not deal in truth. Darkness deals in confusion. Darkness comes to do this. When darkness comes, normally, average normal people who speak and think in average and normal terms don't contradict themselves. And they certainly don't contradict the truth. So here we are, and at a vantage point where we're no longer living simply from the outside, but we're living from the inside. I know you're going to say, okay, he's going to do this again. He's done it for decades now. He's going to do it again. Yep, you're right. We're going to do it again. Because if the kingdom isn't ruling you from the inside, the kingdom on the outside will leave you in a state of confusion, and you'll be just as confused as they are. See, it happened to John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And watch this. I'm going to read this to you. I'm just going to go follow my heart. Watch this, Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to be reading. It's on the screen if media can catch up with me. And we're going to go verse 1. Watch what happens. Watch this. You can all... Slow down, Robert. Listen to this story. I'm going to read a number of verses, so hang on. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. Now watch this. John's in prison. He actually got himself thrown in prison because he ran at the political governor of the day. And he called him out because of a bunch of stuff. Is that good enough? Okay, we won't get into it. Okay, so John calls him out. Okay, now watch what. And so he sent two of his disciples. While John's in prison, he sends two of his disciples to him, to Jesus. And he says, are you the coming one? Or do we look for somebody else? What's John saying? John is saying, whoa, wait a minute. You said you came preaching the kingdom of God. Now, I'm asking you, are you the one? Listen to what he says. Or do we look for another? Oh my gosh. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to him, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Listen to what he said. Jesus responds to John. He said, John, are you really sure? Are you telling me you're not sure I'm the one? Come on. This is John the Baptist. John and Jesus grew up together. Remember Mary and Martha? Both in the womb? John knew from the womb. Remember, Martha was carrying John, and Mary walks up with Jesus in her womb, and John, it says, leaps in the womb because he recognizes the Messiah. And then John, this is the John that was with, I mean, not with, but he was in the water when he baptized Jesus. And he heard the voice of God say, this is my son. The same man is now, because of the political environment, is saying, are you the one? Or is somebody else going to do this right? Because you ain't doing it right. You aren't confronting the political issues. Why? Because Jesus went after the spiritual issues, and he went on after the spiritual issues on the inside of people, and he said, the Word of God, the kingdom of God, the Word of God is the kingdom of God. And he said, the words I speak unto you, remember what he said? They are spirit and they are life. One word. From a God-fearing, God-loving, Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-thumping, Bible-believing believer in the middle of a chaotic situation can flip it around on a dime. It may not change in the natural, but to understand the weight of the kingdom that is in you and I, the weight of the power and the authority of the kingdom of God, and yet, what do? We look around and we don't live that. I'm sorry. Do we understand that John lost the kingdom and he lost his head because he couldn't see the kingdom of God? How many religious, oh my gosh. How many religious leaders today, including myself, have a dotted line right here? And God is calling his leaders to lead the people in a manner that is fitting to the kingdom from within. Amen. I put myself in that place. I do. And so John lost his head because he thought it was a political solution. He thought it was going to be resolved politically. This is not going to be resolved politically. If it is ever resolved, we are at a level of chaos this nation has never known. And yet, I'm going to put my foot in it, baby. I want to read something to you. Every single right set forth in the Declaration of Independence came from the American pulpits in 1763. For 13 years, the pulpits of Lutheran and Methodist and so on pastors stood in pulpits and preached the kingdom of God and preached the truth, not a feel-good, bless us for and no more, Acts 2:4 gospel. They preached the truth that the kingdom of God had a constitution and it was God's word. And any violation of the word is a violation of the kingdom. You are deafeningly quiet. And please don't misinterpret me that I'm angry. I'm just bone serious. That if something's going to change in America, it has to change right here. Can't change anyplace else. Listen to what it goes on to say. I'll tell you later about the ministers of the revolution, 1776, did not earn Galloway's compliments. That's the author, that's a Methodist pastor. Because they were not silent, they were not afraid to speak to the issues of the day. This is about pastors in the 1700s and the founding of our nation. When you look at the sermons of those days, whatever was in the headlines of the news is exactly what was being preached in the pulpit. Because the pulpit was determining where it was going. And it doesn't mean the pastors were in charge. It means the people and where their hearts were. Until we turn the hearts of the people one-on-one, and we understand that the chaos and the craziness that's going on. Listen to what it says. When you look at the sermons of those days, whatever was in the headlines of the news is what was being preached about in the pulpits. They showed people that the Word of God applied to every situation in life. And that the Word of God was the answer to every situation in life. It is not a physical revolution. It is not even a physical revelation. It's a spiritual revolution that turns into a revelation on the inside of us that we have the answer to what's going on in the world. And the answer comes from God's word, and the only way the constitution of the kingdom can be established in our life is that you be born again. And you are not going to rush into cities that have now been taken over. What's the Seattle city's name now? Chad. You're not going to, what is it? Chop. Whatever it is. You ain't going to turn that around without force. You ain't going to turn that around without physical force. But even when that ends, you cannot put people into an arena where the Old Testament spoke to this. In that arena, and whatever that city's name is, chaos is in charge. And the Bible says things go bad when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Everything goes south, and it's unavoidable. But everything goes right for those who have the kingdom established within. You get the kingdom inside. You understand that God's word is faithful and God's word is true. Listen to this. It says, every single right set forth in the Declaration of Independence has been preached from the, or was preached from the American pulpits from 1763 for 13 years before the Declaration of Independence was declared. And you go through the Declaration of Independence and you'll find out in every one of those points, they were subjects taken out of sermons, out of pulpits that understood the kingdom of God was inside, not on the outside, and it grew from within. And so it's not a revolution until it's a revolution and a revelation on the inside. And I want to speak hope and life to you, but we can't do this in just easy terms. We got to talk turkey here, man. You have to. You know, I want to get down from here for a moment, and I want to walk away so I get out of the way so you'd see who's trying to talk to you. It's not me. It's not the pastors and pulpits that are watching right now. There's a voice of God being spoken to people that you must let the kingdom rule you from within. That lives are changed on the inside out when you're born again, when you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you recognize that your life is messed up, that you're filled with fear and filled with worry and filled with anxiety, and you're disobedient, and you think God doesn't love you, and you are absolutely as wrong as you could be. He loves you so much, He sent His Son into the world to die for you so you could get right with Him. God's word is so faithful and so true. And His love is so enduring. You sing songs like you sang. What was the last song, Kirsten? What's it called? Great Are You, Lord. The greatness of God. If you listen to that song again and you hear that song, you listen to the words again, you hear the greatness of God just sits on the throne of your life. And while you look around and you walk up to stores and they tell you you have to wear a mask. And they tell you you can't go to the beach. Or they make up the rules. They don't know. They couldn't find their butt with both hands and a flashlight. Why? Because they're evil people? No, they're no more evil than you and I were before we got saved. They're just unsaved and they're trying to make their own rules and they don't know what to do. But you and I have an answer. And if you can't change the city. Your job is not to change the city. It's to change the people's lives that you come in contact with, to love them and share with them the grace and the mercy of God and do whatever it takes to share your faith and share your love and let them feel. And it's not you and me just going there and blabbing scriptures. But it's loving them and recognizing that behind their masks and behind their rules and all the regulations, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. Facebook, you can cut me off if you don't like this. That's fine with you. But you know what? I've been praying for Governor Newsom. I seriously have been praying for Governor Newsom because you know what? That man is as lost as you can get. Say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean he's lost? He's lost because he doesn't know the love of God. He's making rules and he's contradicting himself. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. I'm not against him. If you hate him, you need to get delivered from your hate. He's confused. And you take it right on down to the line. You take it to city government. You take it to county government. You take it to the federal system. Don't you dare make it red or blue. It ain't got nothing to do with the politics. It has to do with the hearts of men and women in our nation that are so filled with fear, they don't know what else to do. They're boxing with the air. Isn't that what Paul said? They're boxing with the air. They're trying to make rules and they don't know what to do. And here's the answer. Jesus. That is the answer. So I encourage you today in this time and that you just understand that the pastors in your community, we're all working together to try to be of one mind, one heart, not one sermon, not one message, but one will and one purpose and one goal. And that is to do what we were called to do. And that is to equip you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry, to reach out into a lost world and touch the lives of people without getting religious, without having, and you can quote all scripture you want. I love quoting scripture when I don't tell them where it came from. That's right. How many of you know, you don't have to quote chapter and verse for the power to be in the spoken word. All you got to do is speak truth. Truth changes lives. Truth changes people. But something inside us has to change. Are you ready to go for the gold? Are you ready to press into the kingdom? Better yet, are you ready to let the kingdom press into you? If God is speaking to your heart this morning, let me ask you this question. Simple question. If you're watching by Facebook or you're here in the room, the ultimate question is this. Do you know where you're going when you die? And if you don't, I don't care how much you know about Jesus, you don't know him. Because you don't know him from here. You know him from here. Now maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've fallen away because the church has hurt you. You've been wounded by a church. Somebody in a pulpit has said something. Somebody on a church staff has said something. Believers that attend a specific church have done something. And you've been offended. It's time for you to get past that offense and time for you to yield to the kingdom. Would you bow your heads, please? Pray, saints, pray. I want to ask you here this morning, are you ready to go all the way with the kingdom? Are you ready to cast aside all your personal issues and are you ready to embrace the kingdom, to let it take charge? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you feel the need to renew that commitment this morning, if there's a sense of stirring inside you, there's something going on inside you that says, I want this, I need this. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, that's you, just put your hand up and hold it up. Don't put it down. So that's me. I need to go all the way. Thank you. God bless you. 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 Father, we thank you as your word is faithful and your word is true. You will lead us as a people and lead our nation. You're not done with America. You're not even close to done. But you're raising up your body, the body of Christ, made up of men, women, and children who understand your constitution is your word. They are going to live by it and stand by it. In Jesus' name, would you stand? If God's speaking to your heart, I'm telling you, there's an impartation time, and you need something to happen on the inside of you. Come put your toes on the line right now before I close the service. I'm going to give you to the count of three. And if you're standing in indecision, you're going to walk out with that indecision. One. Two. Three. We love you guys. We appreciate you. It doesn't mean you're bad people. It just means God's stirring you to go to a new place. I want one person behind each one of these. Come on. One person. We're going to dismiss you here in a second. They're going to lead us in a song. And as we take this song, take this into the streets. Take this into the community. Go home. Listen to this. Listen to it again. Go through the verses that I've given you. And let the Spirit of God do something that has never been done before and through us. Because I believe, as in 1776, we're going to take this nation back.